Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 269. I told you I was going to think of a joke last week at the end of the show and I didn't. I mean, it's 69. Make your own jokes. We're all a bunch of juveniles. I'm sure you can figure it out. Joining me this week, as he always does, it's John.
Hey, hey, everybody. Thursday night, having a beer. It's Wonder Pod time.
Have you been periscoping lately? I haven't really had Twitter on a lot.
I'm trying to decide whether the honeymoon with Periscope is over or not. I'm still enjoying it, and I get on there every once in a while, but definitely not to the same extent that I was. I don't know why that is, unless I'm just, you know, some of the repeat business that you get on Periscope, just starting to get tired of it, you know.
It's strange to me because once we started doing this and got into a groove, like first 10 episodes were a little shaky, let's say, on whether I was truly having a good time or not. And that just was for me personally, not cast lineup, nothing to do with the show itself, just me personally. And then once we got about show 10, I really got into it, and I still enjoy it to this day, obviously. I've never been able to find that same groove making videos. I always feel very wooden, very much like I'm not able to communicate or able to make points I want to make or be as funny as I can be. I keep trying with it, but I don't know. Sometimes I think once the honeymoon varnish wears off, it's either for you or it's not for you. I don't know, but it annoys me because, you know, you guys had a couple what I would call unsure shows, tentative shows. I can go back and listen to certain shows when you guys first started and know that you're not real sure what you want to do here or why are you here. But once you guys got past that, both of you have done tremendous and are naturals at it now as far as I'm concerned. But for whatever reason, you add in the fact that you're playing a game and recording video to it. It's just, maybe it's more than my little brain can handle. Maybe I just have to accept that limitation and move on with my life. I don't know. I really don't. Also joining us this week, he is busily trying to annoy everybody on the Nintendo Net, whatever it's called. Yeah, we host the video game podcast. Nintendo
1980.
Nintendo things and such. It's Glycinator.
Hello. So I'm on the Nintendo Net.
What the fuck is there?
Boy. Yeah.
What the fuck is their online service called anymore? That's why I don't know. They don't
I guess it's Miiverse now.
See, that's it. Like it, Xbox Live rolls off the tongue. PSN or PlayStation Network rolls off the tongue. See, it's. I think I would know those even if I didn't use Sony and Microsoft products a lot. For some reason, Nintendo's never been able to give their online service a good name that I can that just sticks in my brain, which isn't necessarily Nintendo's fault 100%. You know what I mean? But let's just call it Nintendo and such. That sounds like a nice antiquated hardware store from the 50s. Bob's Brooms and such. Anyways, he is in his artist groove. He's making Super Mario Maker levels, which we'll get to. But are you finding that it's going to be an obsession or not? That's just the only quick question I wanted to ask before I turn you and John loose on it here in a few minutes.
It's definitely more fun for me if I like sit down straight through and make a level. Like, maybe spend 2 hours on a level and then just not even look at it for, like, a day, you know. And then I'll come back maybe 2 days later and then make another level. Like, I can't just sit there and, like, crank out, like, five levels. In terms of making stuff, you know, it's more just, like, if I have, like, time to kill, you know, that's a good way for me to do that.
Nintendo is selling very well. God, English, don't know it. This is selling very well for Nintendo, which makes me happy. But for me, I kind of knew from moment one, it'd be almost like a voyeur thing. of I want to see what crazy shit people come up with.
Yeah, that's been the best part.
Yeah, and they're already doing it.
Yeah.
And I think it will continue.
I mean, it's been less than a week, and I've already seen what I feel like I've seen all like there can be, but there's no way
Mm-mm.
that there's going to be, that's it, you know.
That, in fact, when I turn you guys loose on it, as we talked about before the show, if both of you want to talk for a minute about some of the better levels you've seen or heard about, I know I saw you guys were passing some back and forth on Facebook, and I was just super busy this week, so I haven't had a ton of time to look at them, but I guess I just feel good that having hopes for something Nintendo was doing, even when people I trust were telling me, I don't know, dude, looks cheesy. It was just a nice win. I didn't really necessarily need a win this week, but it was kind of a nice win to see that my gut instincts were correct about Mario Maker. You can't go wrong with that. Unfortunately, and I asked these gentlemen, well, I didn't ask them, I told them. I guess that's a big difference. For a few minutes off the top of the show, and I will warn you, this is about MMO stuff, and I'm very well aware we have maybe one or two high Quiglin, high Agent K listeners who play MMOs. But there's something that has gotten on my nerves, and this is our platform to vent. Always has been for 268 shows, always will be until we quit doing it. Worm Online, a game that I talk about nonstop and that Glacinator considers a wall-building simulator. Hey, I got a new joke out of it. Announced this week that they would be selling a standalone client called Worm Unlimited. Don't get me started on how devs really need to learn naming nomenclature and stop using the same names over and over again. And of course, instead of being hopeful, instead of being supportive of the developers who have brought them a game that once you get into Worm, you love way more than you care to admit. I mean, I have never played another game in my life where I go back to it as often for as long ever. But the user base of the MMO version of the game was anything but supportive for the most part. And it's gotten to the point now with this crying and the sky is falling and how dare the devs do this like you own the game. It's just making gamers look bad now. It's making us look like a bunch of immature bastards who don't even have spines because every person I saw flailing their arms in the forums, panic selling stuff, you know, because Worm also is one of the few MMOs that legally allows you to sell your character if you so choose, when they don't have to, is ridiculous. And it just makes us look horrible. And the bottom line is, every idiot panicking and flailing and going, Code Club, the company that makes Worm, how dare you do this to us, are going to be back 2 months later, 2 months after this Worm Unlimited comes out. They'll be back. They'll slink back in, kind of like Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 players did on PC. And while devs make questionable decisions and outrages and protests are necessary components of gaming, sometimes, anymore, we're making ourselves look bad. We're making us as gamers look bad. And you players in Worm Online, who will never hear this, but I'm going to say it anyway, that acted like a bunch of immature toddlers with a giant lollipop stuffed up your ass, you did yourself no favors. People who had legitimate concerns, I could have probably shared your concerns. But nobody did that. They might have started voicing legitimate concerns, and then they let the nutters and the tinfoil helmets stir them up, and they started screaming and crying. And don't even get me started on the Linux heads who were like, oh, Steam's so full of DRM, it's going to touch my computer's naughty bits. If you're on the internet, your computer's naughty bits have already been touched, but that's a subject for another day. We need to just stop. Just stop every time something like this happens, even in a game as somewhat obscure as Worm Online. You need to have some fucking patience, people, because my patience for this shit is running out. We all don't like change. I don't like it. John and Glace at times don't like it, but it's going to happen. The positives to take away from something like a Worm standalone client being made is the fact that if it does well on Steam, the MMO will benefit by proxy. The reason I didn't panic when this announcement was made, for the two of you that are listening that play the game, is because the next day, i.e. today, I saw a bunch of players who don't want to dedicate the time and effort and money, honestly, required to play Worm in the MMO form to be able to pay one time for a client, like Minecraft. Oops, excuse me, the game we will not name. I'm never going to get that one right. And then tinker with it at their leisure. And I got news for you. A lot of those people I saw today in various forms of social media and other forums are MMO players. People who play Guild Wars. People who play WoW. People who play... name your favorite MMO if you have one. So they're not afraid of investing time into something. They just... Worm is a whole nother ballgame when it comes to time consumption. And so for Code Club to be willing to make this leap of faith and say, we're going to put it on Steam, we're going to put our code out there, which they seemed hesitant to do in the past, is something that we should support, even if it blows up in their faces. Because the bottom line is, with a game like Worm Online, with a low player base, it's always going to have a natural end. It's never going to last forever. And honestly, if by any chance somebody from Code Club is listening to this, as much as I bitch about you, and as much as I bitch about your head numero uno in charge, Rolf, and some of the decisions you guys have made over the years, you owe me nothing. We won't even talk about the amount of money in any currency I've spent on that game. I was quite happy to do it. Because you know what those games are about, guys? Not about your little trinkets and your little pieces of armor that you own. It's about the friends that you made. I made two, if not three, I'm not even going to put a number to it because somebody's going to get butthurt. I made a number of good friends through that game. That is far, 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 far more important to me than any money I spent or any thing I achieved in the game. When its natural end comes, so be it. But I seriously doubt them selling something standalone on Steam is going to do it. All Code Club really has to worry about now is understanding that Steam users and their penchant of downvoting anything that they see before they've had enough Red Bull is probably worse than the standard MMO player, quite honestly. So I'm hoping for the best. And with the way they've got it set up, who knows? Maybe Glacinator will give it a second look in a creative mode and make a castle that looks like the one I'm currently building look sad by comparison, which is what he usually does. So thank you, gentlemen. And for those of you that were fast-forwarding, you can stop now. But you're never going to know that because none of you go to WonderPotOnline.com to read the written post I so lovingly read hurriedly right as I'm editing the show. Because I will put the timestamp on when that rant ended on the post. But you're not going to get that if you get it on iTunes. Have a nice day. Thanks, guys. Thank you, guys. That was one of my better ones. I was me, but I was actually kind of constructive.
Not bad.
That was my goal for this one. I thought about just being me, but 268 shows, you want me in my rantiest form, go through the archives. It's there. Well, I mean, it's just, for my mind, and this is an important point as we go on further in WonderPod, I personally have ranted, screamed, yelled, and bitched enough. If I can do anything now that's maybe a teaching or constructive, I'll take the time to do it. That doesn't mean that if the Cliffies of this world or the Name Redacteds or the Phil Fishes start acting stupid, I will not bring out the ranting stick. That'll never end. Come on, man, it's me. I mean, seriously, do you really expect it to go away? Okay, so my little sad ass rant out of the way. You gentlemen have both purchased Mario Maker, as we alluded to. Teaser.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I do have one specific question for John before I turn you guys loose and then pretend I'm paying attention, because I have to listen to it again and edit. Or do I? Yeah, now's your time. I've not been listening as closely in edit anymore. How much time do you think you've had with it, John? I know roughly how much Glace has had with it.
I would say Peter and I have spent about, since we got it the day before it launched. It was a couple hours on that Saturday, and maybe a half an hour to an hour per night, give or take. You know, like I think there would have been a night or two that we missed because we weren't home, but otherwise, but about an hour a night, half an hour to a half an hour.
Mute button, sorry. Cool. So you have had a sufficient amount of time.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say that I have spent a lot of, like, me time building levels. It's been mostly been myself and Peter just playing with the tools and doing a lot of fun little things, and he saving his levels that he's making with, you know, with my assistance. Not that I really think very publishable, because they're kind of just, you know, throwing shit at the wall and see what sticks. But you know, one of those days, I think one of those might be fine tuned to you know, the hundred Bowser march is pretty fun.
I support throwing shit to the wall and seeing what sticks. It's got us through 269 shows.
You would love this game then.
Well, I mean, come on, man. At the end of the day, creation is creation. Sure, there's some stuff more popular than others, but what I like hearing there, as a human being in general, is that Peter loves creating something, and that to me is an essential building block for a lot of crap you do in the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, even if it wasn't a son of a friend of mine, it's just having some love of creation, figuring things out, working out problems. It helps so much. It's even if you can only draw stick figures like I do versus Glacinator's art du jour, the willingness to create, the willingness to try and create has always helped me in all facets of my life. And that's what makes this game for kids even awesomer to me. All right. They've heard enough from me. Glacinator, you're in charge. Take it away.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
So it's shit, I'm in charge.
There's a lot to talk about. I picked up the game on, I guess it was Friday. First thing to talk about, I guess, is it actually comes with not really a manual. There's like a manual built into the game, which is actually pretty helpful. But it comes with like a little picture book.
Like an idea book,
which I think is pretty cool. I mean, there's nice graphics in there, and like Miyamoto has like sketches, like original sketches that he did, and it's just nice. It's like a nice little coffee table book. It's not a huge book, but also in them they have pictures of potential levels, and like with ideas. So like there'll be one. It's like it looks like a robot made out of blocks, and the eye is like a mushroom that goes back and forth. So it looks like the eye is like scanning. And like, oh, that looks like a cool idea. And like, the way that you can like figure out how this stuff works is at the bottom of each of these pictures, there's a little code, and you can go into your game and input the code for that picture, and then you can play that level, that example level, which is pretty cool. And I think there's like 50 or so of these example levels in the book.
I haven't tried any of that yet.
Yeah, it's.
I forgot all about the codes.
Yeah. There's a spot you put it on in the game. You have to access some like it's like some weird question mark search bar. I don't know, but there's like 50 of those in that book. And then besides those 50, I guess the game has a default, maybe 40 or so levels, that are just more examples of what you can do. Starting off with like, you know, like this is what 1-1 in original Mario looks like, but like here's like a Mario Maker spin on it. Like some of the enemies are bigger, The jumps are weirder. Like you may get a baby Bowser in a shoe, like from Mario 3 stuff. You know, it's all over the place. But it slowly builds up the levels until it gets to like 8-8. You know, and it's a version of like the final level, or 8-4, the final level in the original Mario. And it's like there's like five Bowsers, and you have to go up this, and there's fireballs, and it's just showing you how the game is different, but at the same time, it's taking from past games. So that's what comes with the disc levels itself. Then you have the creation mode, which I'll get into. But then you also have a play mode. And in play mode, you connect to online, and you can play other people's levels that they've made online. And they're ranked by easy, normal, and hard. Easy levels, I mean, are pretty easy. It usually means that a large percentage of players finish that level, so it goes into that category. Normal, about half people finish it, and then hard, like no one finishes it. So, I mean, easy is incredibly easy to do. A lot of the easy levels that I tried out were like, I guess people's really just first attempt. Like a lot of levels didn't really make sense. They're just random blocks, and the flagpole is like right there. It took like 3 seconds to beat the level, you know. So that's kind of, I mean, I guess if you're a little kid, that might be fun to do, but I really like levels that make sense, like visually and cohesively. So I was kind of over that. The normal levels are good. I think they get a good balance, but you do get a few levels here and there where it's like, I guess my main problem with playing other people's levels online is that a lot of them are just unfair in not good ways. Like there'll be leaps of faith that you have to do into nothingness that there's no way that you would know, like that's what you had to do. You just have to like guess, oh, I have to jump off into this void, you know. And there's like levels where like you'll start off at the beginning and there'll be like 20 enemies directly in front of you and you'll die immediately. And then there'll be levels where it's like there's a giant pit that you can't cross, but they're like the person hit a secret, you know, beanstalk somewhere to get around that. I don't know, but I mean it's really hit and miss playing online, but I think normal is usually the best place to play online. I still haven't even beat the hard mode. When I say modes, I mean each mode you have to beat 10 or so levels before you save Princess Peach, basically. And hard mode is just, I still haven't beat it. It's impossible. I mean, the levels that some people upload are just, the only way that you would know how to beat it is if you made it yourself, because you know exactly where to jump. Like, there's no reaction time, you know, for someone that's learning the level. So that's the default modes. Then you can also search by, like, most, like, liked star levels. You can star a level, which is basically liking a level. And you can categorize it by, like, most starred that day, most starred of all time, like, most starred in your region, you know, up-and-coming levels, so on and so forth. And most of the top, like, levels currently online are kind of gimmicky, which is okay, but it's also a problem because those are also the people that are getting the most exposure. And when I say exposure, the way that online works with uploading levels is the more stars that you have, that people star your levels, the more slots you have to upload levels online. And so I think what Nintendo was trying to do was they're trying to say, okay, if you do make good levels, it means you're getting starred a lot, which means that we'll allow you to make more levels so that like people that make bad levels don't eat up our space. But what's been turning into is like, who can make the most gimmicky level to get cheap stars, and then that just sort of snowballs into like, okay, here's a bunch of other really gimmicky levels. When I say gimmicky levels, I mean levels where it's like, don't touch anything. So that's like the top level right now online, is you spawn in a world and you're on like a platform, and a platform flies all over the place, and all these enemies like that are about to hit you, but they never hit you, you know. And like you automatically hit trampolines and stuff, and you go through level. It's like really well done. It's creative, but it's not really a Mario level, you know.
No, it's like watch Mario almost die for a minute. And while that's fun, you're not playing. It is pressing right, holding the right button, or whatever it might be, right?
Mm-hmm. So there's levels like that, and there's also levels where it's like the amiibo costume room. So also in this game, you can scan amiibos onto your gamepad and then use them as costumes. for Mario, basically. You don't have to have the amiibo to get the costume in the game. It's just that if you have the amiibo, then you automatically unlock it. You normally unlock amiibos just by playing easy, normal, hard modes, and you get a new costume every time you beat it. But yeah, besides the don't move Mario, there's all these like, oh, here's all the different costumes in the game. And it's just like a straight, flat level with like 50 question mark blocks with a different costume in each, so people can like look to see what the costumes are, which I'm sure Nintendo hates that, because now people have no incentive to like explore the game, because they can just go online and go to this like costume level and like test it all out for themselves. Then there's other gimmicky stuff like, I don't know, John, you might think of some. There's like a Plinko one, which I thought was amusing, but I mean, there's not really any like traditional Mario levels on the top rankings right now, which is what I was really looking forward to.
Can I break in for a sec? Because I have some questions.
There was a lot to say. So,
first thing, Glace, as far as unfair ways, I was sitting here while I was sitting here listening to that, because I was here the whole entire time. Do you think maybe that's a little bit you? Because you and I are like that, and we don't like stuff super, super tricky. Whereas a lot of people like that.
I mean, I like hard levels. I mean, this is like you spawn, and there's like 50 Bowsers stacked on top of each other in front of you.
Okay.
You die almost instantly.
Okay. Because when you started talking about hidden stuff, it made me go, well, yeah, maybe that's unfair. But at the same time, that kind of stuff pisses me off just because I'm not paying enough attention. I was wondering if it was purposefully made unfair, or you just weren't paying attention to the right spots. You answered my question.
I like levels that have secret things that you have to find. I think that's great.
Okay.
That's the level I just made, I'll talk about that. I did that. But I mean, as an example, there's a level where you spawn and there's like nothing. It's just a flat piece of ground. And like you keep running right. And then there's like four Bowsers on top of each other, which you can't jump over.
Right.
And so what you had to do basically was just jump. You go back through the entire level and just randomly jump until you found like the hidden beanstalk, you know, the invisible block thing. And then you climb up to that and there's clouds on the top of the level that you can drop down on, which is like not creative at all. It's just like being like, they're sort of troll levels, I guess.
Well, I mean, there are certain cases where it does work, because I played a simple level with Peter, and I mean, the title of the level was Find the Three Hidden One-Ups. And like, I mean, you can go right to the end and get and clear it, and you're, you know, within seconds, but you have to, it tells you, your point is to go around and search for the hidden mushrooms. And they're not just hidden like in some random spot. They actually have developed a maze for you to go find these hidden things. Like, there's actually a point, like you kind of have to do the honor system that you found them before you cleared it, but it's, you know, it's in there, right? And those kinds of experiences are pretty good.
Hidden
stuff goes.
I mean, I should say that I don't hate all non-Mario levels. I mean, there are some that are really creative. I mean, what I was talking to you guys about in the chat was someone already remade the entirety of Mega Man 2. boss levels and everything.
It's funny, because I think Nintendo screwed up calling this Mario Maker. And I'm actually going to skip to my third question, but then I do have one about the rankings thing that might help you guys a little bit. Do you guys think being Mario fans, and the fact it's called Mario Maker, make you more, make you harder on levels because it's not Mario? See, I thought maybe Nintendo screwed up here by calling this Mario Maker, because I get the sense from what I've been reading and listening to that you may never get a lot of traditional Mario levels without searching for them.
Yeah.
At least not initially.
I mean, go ahead.
I mean, there have been really creative levels that aren't Mario levels. Like, there's one that was called Mario Bowling, and you walk, and in Mario World, that game, you can pick up shells and throw them upwards. And so what you have to do is, there's like different doors you can go into, and there's enemies walking on the ceiling. And you have to try to get as many points as possible by throwing the shell up, basically, and like trying to like bowl over, you know, the enemies that are above you, you know. And then at the end of the level, you're supposed to like comment with your high score. So, I mean, I think that's great. And then there was also one that was a, it was like a play on WarioWare, like the mini games.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, you turn into Wario when you get the Wario mushroom, and like you go into different rooms, and at the below the floor there's a bomb that's like about to explode, and you have to like figure out what to do in that room. If it's like kill an enemy or like get this mushroom or do this, you have to figure out what it is you have to do before the bomb explodes, because if the bomb explodes then there's no floor and you fall through the floor. Like, I think that's great. Those are really creative levels. I'm just saying there's a big problem right now with just troll levels where it's like you spawn and you die.
Well,
there's no hint to like what you have to do.
That's what I was going to say, because gimmicky levels are always going to be a problem per se. But I wanted to ask you one thing about the star rating system, and then I have a comment about it. Because I play a couple three mm-hmm. games that use similar system. Is there a description to the level? I know the writer or the user writes it, but is there a description to the level?
All there is the title.
And they show you a preview pane of the overall level.
That's, see, okay, Nintendo made a mistake there, because I play a game and then the Steam Workshop where you get mods and stuff. So you go by rating to get to cull it down, but what Nintendo needs to do is force creators to write a description, because the game I play, and it's the most twisted, broken mentally game, but it's fun, it's called Happy Wheels. If you go and Google Happy Wheels and you're offended or upset, it's not my fault. You typed it into Google. It's nothing like super offensive. It's just very gory and very childish. But Happy Wheels has a 5-star rating system. And so what happens is these Uber fanboys of PewDiePie and Markiplier and Rooster Teeth and name your favorite YouTuber go make these levels for them that are garbage, but because it's got their name on it, people 5-star it. Well, once you start to read or pay more attention, you can figure out which levels you may actually enjoy. The other you guys probably could figure out something like that, I hope, but Nintendo, I think, really blew it by not forcing people to at least write some kind of description. The other problem, too, guys, I'm seeing from listening to you, is it's the first week. We'll definitely have to revisit this in like a month to see how the levels have kind of worked out, because everybody that either wants to troll or prove that they're the hardest of the hardcore, it's a Nintendo game, I'm still not convinced sure how you do that, are gonna be filling the quay, as it were, queue, if you, I don't know why I always say quay, I just do. But I could see that star thing being a little more refined. That is kind of sucks. Okay, I'm done. I had questions. You have answered my questions. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay. Well, I think I've made 4 levels since it came out. My first level that I made actually is the one that got the most stars. So I think I got 6 stars, which means that I unlocked the next tier of being able to upload stuff. So I think once you get 5 stars, then you can upload 10 levels, as opposed to, I guess, what the default is, 5 maybe levels. So that's nice. Then I made 2 more, which are okay. And then the most recent one that I made, which I'm sort of proud of, is like not a traditional Mario level, but it's still Mario-based, in that it's not left to right or right to left. I made like a weird ghost house, if you know the ghost houses from Mario World. And it's not just get to the level. I mean, it is, it's Mario, but the only way you can get to the level is by finding a special item that I hid in the ghost house. And to that special item, you have another special item. So it's sort of like, it's sort of Zelda-ish, because there's some sort of, there's, I guess, more Metroid-ish, actually, because there's a little bit more backtracking. And I tried to make it look spooky, you know. I used environmental stuff and sound effects. That's what's really cool about the game, is the little things they've added. It's fun to add sound effects in, you know, sparingly. The one that I like is there's a heartbeat one. So like when things get really intense, you can like have this like da 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 go off. Then there's like a weird laugh one. And there's also like a rave disco ball one, which
That's
is like
pretty
fun
funny,
to
that
use.
one.
Yeah, for like boss battles, like a disco ball comes down, like all these strobe lights, and it's like dun, 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 woo, woo. You start dancing around and stuff. But the Maker is so easy to use. I mean, it took me maybe like 10 minutes to figure out, okay, this is how this thing works. And after those 10 minutes, it was like I had known how to use this thing my entire life. I mean, it's great for someone like me who likes game design stuff, because, I mean, when I first started out making little dinky games, one of the first ones I did, it had like a snail and a slug in it, and like you had to shoot slime balls. I have the EXE somewhere on my computer, but it was basically what this was, but, you know, programmed with terrible if-then statements. So, I mean, this is great because you can do that on the fly. You know, if there's something you don't like, you can say, okay, let me go back into editor mode immediately, just erase that block, and then go right back into the game without having to go to a checkpoint, without having to start from the beginning of the level. You just, wherever Mario is on the screen, you can place him, and then that's where you start playing from. You can give Mario power-ups while in editing mode so that you don't kill yourself instantly. Another cool thing is that you can click Mario after you play through the level, and then you can go back and you can see his motion path through the level. So you can see like how far he jumped so that you know where to place a block. So you can see like what the farthest jump distance is. You know, should I change this because he's this tall in this part? You know, it's all very seamless. I mean, it's instantaneous between going through playing and editing, which is the biggest thing that I like for me. And it's great. Oh, go ahead.
You know what's interesting is, you know, Unity catches a lot of shit now, but that's what's so great about Unity to me, what tiny bit I know about game engines. If I want to take a world that, say, Agent K made, and then add a JavaScript or a C script to it, and see how that interacts with the game, or whatever is in the engine, the Unity player takes 2 seconds, you're in, you can test it, you can see what the scripts are doing. Obviously, it's more complicated to a point than Mario Maker. But man, that is brilliant on Nintendo's part, I gotta say. Because that gives you instant feedback to what you're doing.
Oh yeah, it's immediate. Like, definitely immediate. I mean, I think it's the best part of the game. There's no rendering time. There's no, like, having to run all the way back to a certain part of the level to check it out. Like, if you hate something, you can swap it out in 2 seconds.
Do you think this 10 to 15 minutes is a fair assessment for somebody who doesn't have your experience?
Maybe 25, 30 minutes for someone that has no experience.
Because it'd probably be 10 to 15 minutes for me if I was paying attention, given that I have some experience. But, and if I was actually paying attention, which I'm known to not do. But I just was curious whether you thought, but still, 30 minutes to be able to create something that you
I mean,
can,
that's like create something, like, good.
Yeah.
Like you can make something in 5 minutes, like, workable in 5 minutes easily. I mean, what's great, it's sort of like a canvas, really. You can drag the enemies down. Let's say, okay, I want to edit this enemy. You know, I want to make him bigger. So you just drag a mushroom on top of him. He gets bigger. Oh, let's give him wings. You drag the wings on. Like, oh, I want to put this guy in a pipe. Then you just drag him in a pipe. Like,
yeah, you can.
It's obvious, like, what you can do.
You can take Bowser. You can take Bowser, make him bigger, and make him fly right in the middle of your level. Like, he can be the first thing you want to come at. Like, it's you can just throw such a and for Peter's sake, you know, he really enjoys how absurd it can be. Mm-hmm. And the more absurd it is, the more he enjoys it.
Well, this is why I was genuinely, I'm being sincere here, does not happen often, genuinely excited, and probably why I'm actually taking more part than I normally would with you two, sorry, is we have such an interesting dichotomy of people playing it. We have Glaze, who is a wonderful artist and understands game design to a large extent. We have John, who has more than enough capacity to get it quickly. And then we have Peter, who is a genuine child who this game is kind of made for, to a point.
And he take, I mean, within within 5 minutes, Peter had the gamepad out of my hand, and he was the one who was designed. Once I showed him, you just had to click it and take it down, and you know, whatever hills or valleys, or you know, it's a matter of just drawing what you want and erasing what you want, and you can put platforms right at the very beginning with the most basic of tools you're given. Like right away, he had made a level that he really enjoyed and thought was so funny. He called it Peter Cheated, because he had built this whole level, got to the end, and then went to edit mode, placed Mario right on top of the flag, went back in, and Mario dropped on the dropped on top of the flagpole, one up, right? So you know, he gets through the whole level and then cheats to win. and he thought it was so absurd that it was so funny. No, that's not something that you could upload, but it's the kind of thing where, you know, we just laughed and laughed and laughed about how silly it was, right? So it's the, you know, Nintendo being Nintendo, right? Like they nailed it right away.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many different, like you say, Bruce, demographics that it, you know, attracts, which is why I think it's going to be so successful. I mean, the thing is, you just have to find your niche within mm-hmm. the game.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I know we all like to hate on Reddit here all the time, but the Mario Maker subreddit is amazing in terms of like finding good levels to play. So, I mean, if you're like me and you really like traditional Mario levels or more in-depth, creative, visually levels, they do a level exchange on there where everyone uploads their levels that they like and they get upvoted and downvoted. Like, hey, star my level, you know. So there's actually a conversation going on that you can't really have on the Miiverse, which stinks. But that's another thing. You can add comments on levels, which is kind of interesting. So if you play a level that a lot of people have played, people may leave a comment, and you can leave a comment at a specific place in the level. So like, if you die on a Goomba, yeah. You can like pause the game and write comment, and then like, oh, I died on this Goomba, and like frowny face, you know. And then when the next person that plays that level, that comment will show up on the screen where that person died or wherever they left it, basically. So
it'll also show you a little circle with an X through it to show you where everybody else died.
Everyone died as well. Too, yeah. Which and, is if you're designing stuff, it's really helpful because you realize like, okay, this type of obstacle is too hard for people, or you know, people aren't dying where I wanted them to die.
Yeah, there's a high concentration of these dots in this one spot. Like it's great to know.
That's interesting because, and maybe you can back me up here, Glace. Maybe you can't. One of the things of the game devs and designers that I know, the thing they tell me most often is it's the small tweaks. It's getting it massaged just right to where it runs fluidly to the set piece or to the place where you think a player is going to have trouble. It's getting those mm-hmm. little tripping points previous to that out that's always the hardest. And it almost sounds like Mario Maker and Iwata probably took what bugs game devs and made it so it's easier for a novice to understand the fail points, the tripping points, the stuff that doesn't flow real well in a level.
I got to ask you something, though, Glace, because I haven't uploaded levels, is it difficult to update your level? If you found that you've uploaded it and people are having trouble at the spot, when you upload, is it gone?
I think you have to delete it. I think if you re-upload the same level, then it's like a different level.
Save. Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, you'd have to delete that level. I mean, you'll still have your stars, basically, but, I mean, no one will be able to play that level. And you'll just have to re-upload it with the same name, I guess. I mean, right. I haven't done that yet. I mean, the second level I made, I mean, there's little tweaks that I wish I could have done. I mean, because after you upload it, I mean, you're basically getting it play-tested, you know, by thousands of people, potentially, you know. And so you can see, okay, this is wrong, this is good, you know. It'd be great if you could go back and tweak it again, but I don't know if that ability is there yet.
It'd be nice if they could get it in there. Because what I'm equating this to in my head is PC modding. Whether it's Steam or from a website or Nexus or anything like that. And one of the good features about that is when you get constructive player feedback, you can then tweak it and add it to your collection. and nothing gets lost in the process. And it seems like maybe Nintendo should figure out a way to do that. Because it makes it way better for PC modding. You know, it's still the same name. It's essentially the same mod. It just got updated, let's say. Yeah, an ability to update might be a good idea.
Yes, I have two other major complaints about the game. They're really, they're pretty small, but number one, you can't place water. So like, you know, in like 1-3, you know, in the original Mario, it's like Cheap Bridge, you know, where it's like you're on the bridge running over the water, and there's no water tiles in the game. So, I mean, there are underwater levels that you can do, but you can't do, you know, the normal, like above, like overworld with just the water tiles on the very bottom. There are lava on the boss, on the Bowser Castle levels. There is lava on the bottom, but you can't move that lava. So maybe there's, if they had an update to add water tiles, that'd be great. Also,
Go ahead. You're probably going to say what I'm going to say. Yeah. Go ahead.
There's no ramps either, which is kind of annoying. I know there was no ramps in the original Mario Brothers, but I mean, all the new Marios have ramps that you can slide down. Even Mario World had ramps too. So that would be nice. Oh, and then the other thing, they don't have, like in normal Mario, you get a mushroom, your big Mario, and then the next time you hit a question mark block, then a fire flower comes out, right? If it was going to be a mushroom, and you go into, you know, fire flower Mario. This, there isn't that like chain power up system. When you put an item in a block, it's either a mushroom or a fire flower, and that never changes. So there's no chain. There's like no chain reaction to getting to be fire flower Mario. It's just the only way to get fire flower Mario is if you, you know,
find the fire flower block.
Yeah. Yeah, so if they could update that, that would be really nice.
Yeah, that being said, there are things missing that you might have expected to be there, but in terms of like the original Mario Brothers levels, there's so much more that they add from the other games.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, those are really small complaints.
Yeah, you can, you know, like some of the enemies and some of the obstacles that you can have in Mario 3 are now available in Mario 1 and even new Super Mario Brothers and stuff, some of the moving tiles and stuff that you wouldn't have in that original Mario Brothers. So there is a trade off to things that you can have and can't have.
Yeah. I mean, like the ghost house that I made was in the style of original Mario, and original Mario didn't have boos in it, you know.
No.
So they had to make a new sprite for the boo, which fits with like the aesthetics of original Mario, which is great. I think they look cool. And all the enemies that you can add. I mean, we didn't talk about this either, but you can swap out instantaneously the theme of the level. What version it is.
Yeah, so, exactly. That's a very cool feature. So yeah, so you can build a level in original Super Mario Brothers, hit a button, and it'll re-render the whole level in Super Mario World, or re-render it in New Super Mario Brothers U. You know, like and exchange all the assets into that version of that game. Some stuff doesn't carry over, like the amiibo, like in the amiibo costumes. So you if I swipe my Mega Man amiibo, I can put that, I can make that a special mushroom with a question mark on it. And when I get it, you know, Mario is now wearing a Mega Man costume with all the Mega Man animations, a little squat version of Mega Man because he's small Mario still. So you don't, and you know, when Peter first saw me as Mega Man, or Mario was Mega Man, sorry, he got very excited. He wanted to start shooting right away. and unfortunately, you don't have the powers of the costume. It's not like you can make a Mega Man game. You have Mario in a Mega Man costume. And so if you get hit by an enemy, you lose the costume and become regular small Mario. Mm-hmm. Same way if you got a mushroom that made you big, if you got hit, you turn small. It's exactly the same thing. You look different. And so the cool thing about these costumes is that people are recreating other games using the costume from that amiibo. So I've played Sonic levels wearing a Sonic costume, and I've played Zelda levels wearing a Zelda costume.
Did you play the Sonic level with the loop?
I didn't. I haven't seen
that one.
That one
is hilarious. Like it's you know, it's the first level of Sonic, and then you get to the loop, and you're like, how are they going to do this? And it's like, it's these coins in the shape of a loop, and then they have trampolines all around it. So that, like, when you hit one, you bounce up to the top, and then you bounce left, down, and then right, and you hit the flagpole.
That's pretty sweet.
I thought it was hilarious.
I saw an animated GIF of that. One of the few good animated GIFs. Because, and the caption on Twitter was, "Fuck you, Nintendo, I'm going to show this to the world one way or another." And I laughed for a solid 5 minutes, because even though I'm not a console head, I know the first level of Sonic. Mm-hmm. You know? And I was like, when I saw the guy running up to it, or just before he started it, in GIF form, I'm like, the hell are they going to do here? Like you probably did, Glaze. And I'm like,
yeah.
You know, GIFs are never great resolution to begin with. And so, and then I saw the one trampoline. I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. It's been fascinating for me to even watch as somebody on the sidelines that doesn't own a Wii U. It's hilarious.
Go ahead, Ben.
Oh, just real quick with the costumes and the different versions. Yeah. What I think is cool is that, yes, you can only use the Mario, the Amiibo costumes in the original Mario setting, but each different version of Mario has their own special thing to it. So, like in Super Mario Bros. 3, you have the Tanuki suit in place of the Amiibo costumes. And then in Super Mario World, you have the cape feather in place of Tanuki. And then in the new Super Mario Brothers, you have the propeller hat.
Propeller hat, yeah.
So if you have a very specific level in mind that you want to use one of those, you know, you have all these choices to choose from. You know, each one is unique in its own way to cater to what you want to do in your level.
What else? Did you have anything else, John? Because I got a couple more questions.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've played a couple of tribute games. Just earlier today, I was playing a very well-made Super Meat Boy tribute level.
That one is so hard.
Oh, it's super. It's ridiculously hard, and so it should be, you know?
I was going to say, have you ever played Super Meat Boy?
Oh, I played, I think I almost finished it, actually.
I didn't. I played it, but I didn't come close.
Yeah, it's but one thing I'll say about the game in general is that I think you know, unless the level is, you know, very lazily made, most people build a level that's harder than they think. Like I was listening to this podcast, the Wired guy, Chris Kohler, was talking about, because he was playing a review copy and he was getting his friends to play test his game for his level for him. Before, and he would perfect it and then, you know, keep uploading it and giving people the codes, and he was playing games, levels that were being made by other people, and everyone, it's one of those things that people learn, like it's a lesson that all playtesters learn, or people who make games learn through playtesting, is that the game that they've made is harder. Like you cannot judge how hard your level is because you know it too well, so you have to get people to play it and find out where the hard places are, and usually it's much harder than you think it is because you just know what you've done, you know what to do, and so it, you know, when he was talking to game developers and he said I get it, like, you know, it's so hard, like you have to get people to play it and give you feedback so that you can make those minor adjustments that you talked about earlier, and the game devs that he spoke to were like, yeah, that's it. Like, you've got it. And so Mario Maker is providing this lesson to people about, you know, if you want to make a well-balanced Mario level, it's actually quite difficult because you need that feedback.
Yeah, knowing Agent K has made me bitch less, and he probably wouldn't believe this in a million years because we talk so often. It's made me bitch quite a bit less because he put it to me very similar, John, and I'm that way with other projects. Stuff that looks very simple to me that I do, and people go, wow, that was difficult, or wow, how long did that take you, or this, that, and the other thing. You get too close to something, and you're not seeing the whole picture. And it's good to be reminded of the whole picture. And that's kind of how Agent K put it to me. And when I started paying attention to games more based on how they were designed or what maybe the creator was intending, it might have taken a slight bit of fun away from the game, but it made me more patient with them than even I thought I would be capable of. It's a very interesting lesson. You're absolutely right. I'm still nowhere near as patient as some games as I should be, but I'm trying. It's an attempt. Glace, I may have missed it because I did step away from the microphone. Did you say you have an issue with him limiting how many levels you can upload or not?
I mean, not. I can see why they did it. So it's annoying if your stuff doesn't get noticed, but I mean, they had a legitimate reason to do that.
I actually was pretty happy when I heard you say that later on, after I sat back down here, because that, again, PC modding is one of the biggest problems. You get, say somebody makes a map for, let's just say Arma 3 for an example, because it's something I play quite a bit. Somebody will take that map and add a building to it or add something to it and then re-upload it. And of course, the original map maker gets mad because you basically ripped off his ship. But now you've got 10 versions of this map, and then you have to learn who made it originally to figure out which is going to be the version that works. And so you have this just real nebulous mess that almost becomes the tinkering we talk about all the time, John, with mechanical stuff. Mm-hmm. With trying to determine, and I'm not even talking true mods, like Arma 3 has single player scenarios you can do, right? Where you could just go plug it in, you do a little mission, it extends the gameplay. Well, that same thing happens where somebody makes a mission about this. So somebody downloads that mission, you can get the files, they take it, they tweak it a little, they do this, but it gets broken somehow, or it doesn't work as well. And it becomes really frustrating because you see something that could work, and then you come to find out, oh, well, this guy basically swiped this from so-and-so. I mean, I bitch at modders a lot about screaming and hollering about, oh, don't steal lines of code, oh, how dare you, because, of course, they go overboard in their reaction. But there's a reason they go overboard. So Nintendo limiting it is not necessarily a bad thing. Maybe as the initial fever pitch dies down, they loosen the rules a little. Might be a good thing, but I actually think it's probably. I was actually pretty impressed when you said that.
Yeah, I'm interested to see. I mean, I'm sure they're going to curate this game and similarly, you know, to Splatoon and stuff, where they. And we've talked about this before, I think, but you know, they'll make tweaks, they'll make adjustments, you know. I'm interested to see when the next first big update of Mario Maker comes out. Like, what are the things that they're going to add or change just to improve? I mean, improve the experience beyond even what it is. And you know, the back of the box says there's going to be DLC. I'm interested to see what they're actually going to offer as extra stuff, because they've packed an awful lot in here already. You know.
Well, some of the stuff Glacinator said was missing, and what you're talking about reminded me of the game we shall not name. Because, Glace, even though you don't play that game modded, don't you think mods by themselves have kept that game in the public consciousness longer than it would have maybe if it was just...
I don't like admitting that, but...
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't, but I knew you were... I also know you call a spade and say that it... I mean, it's only part of why that game has stayed in the consciousness so long, obviously, but... So my point here is I think Nintendo has an opportunity to keep this game relevant and fresh, even if it has to be through DLC, which for once I'm on the Glacinator bus, is dumb because you have such a great thing here you could kill with overpriced DLC, until they decide to make another one. Yeah. I mean, this is one of those games, kind of like what I talk about with Arma 3, John. Yeah, I paid $60 for it. I will play that game for the next 5 years because people will keep making maps for it, keep making mods for it. You know, and Bohemia knows that, and they're okay with that. They offer DLC, like any game company these days does, but they offer DLC that ties in nicely with the mods. I'm kind of hoping Nintendo offers DLC that ties in nicely with the creation experience. And obviously at a reasonable price. I'm not going to hold my breath on either of those, quite honestly.
Well, The other day, I unlocked an Amiibo costume, which was a Shy Guy from Super Mario Brothers 2.
Oh, wow.
So I would not be surprised if there is going to be some expansion for 2 at some point.
That'd be kind of cool. Well, they have so much to potentially draw from.
Oh, yeah.
Just with first-party stuff. Even if, you know, I mean, obviously you could probably go get some well-known third-party Nintendo characters. I bet Glazenator would squee for an hour if Banjo-Kazooie made it in.
Oh, my goodness.
Is an hour being
I
nice?
I don't know what I do with myself.
Yeah. 50 Banjo-Kazooies. It only have one star, but they'd just be Glazenator's tribute to Banjo-Kazooie.
Best level ever.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Glaze, do you think a DLC addition might be the Mario 2 assets? To make Mario 2 levels?
I think so. That's my bet.
I kind of feel confident in what he's saying. My gut tells me he's probably right with that.
Another thing that's cool, real quick, is in the original version, when you beat a game in an Amiibo costume, it plays that person's theme song music in like 8-bit. So like there's, you know, there's 8-bit Zelda, there's 8-bit, you know, F-Zero, there's 8-bit Kirby, Mega Man. Every Amiibo costume has its own theme, which is great.
And when they move it,
things like that, yeah.
And the costumes also have their own little mini animations. So if you're Samus with the armor on and you start to run, you turn into the morph ball to run. That's the run animation. Or if you're
If you're Sonic, then you turn into him as a ball running.
Yeah, so this is all these little subtle things that they add in there. For example, Link from the original Legend of Zelda, he doesn't jump. So when he jumps in Mario Maker, he's him holding the sword in the air. Or if you press down to crouch, like he doesn't crouch, but when you do that, he holds up the force. Those like there's all these little things every character does that makes it, you know, they've gone the extra mile because Big Mario crouches even in Mario Brothers. Big Mario crouches. Those kinds of things. So it's pretty cool, right? All the little touches they've put in there.
Question. I'm going to go to John first, Glaze, because I think you're more in the bag for the game than he is, ever so slightly. John, if you played this at a kiosk, Walmart, GameStop, whatever, and you were able to play it for 5 or 10 minutes, would it sell you on a system if you were on a fence?
Would it sell you on a system? Well, I would say it would depend. If the kiosk level was a example, like one of those cases where they give you a good example level and you can edit it, rather than blank slate,
right?
It probably and just to give you some ideas of what you can do,
right?
And maybe guide you along a little bit. I think it might. I mean, it's
tutorial level is what you're saying.
Tutorial level, yeah, sort of. I guess. It would make me buy a system. I don't know. It's hard to say, but I'll tell you one thing. I was at Walmart yesterday, and I went to Walmart, and I was, you know, buzzing around waiting for some photos to be printed off, and I was in the video game section, and I'm looking at the wall of the Wii U and 3DS wall, and it was top to bottom, you know, mostly first party titles, and the Wii U shelf had, you know, Mario Maker next to Donkey Kong, next to Smash Brothers, next to Super Mario World. If they had that selection with the systems next to a kiosk, and I can just look to my left and go, "Man, look at all these sweet games!" You know, like the catalog is very strong. If you're someone who doesn't have a system, like as much as I started out with my Wii U without a lot of games, it's there now. You know what I mean? So you kind of have to present it in such a way that Mario Maker is great, but here's all this other crap that you can have too. Like if that's not in front of you, it might not be the system seller, you know, you're asking, but as a package, boy oh boy, maybe it is, right?
I'm being politicked at pretty hard since a couple of Agent K's friends who I played PC games with got PS4s to get a PS4 for the holidays. And I have explained to him that he may very well lose out to a Wii U. He is not happy about this. I don't know whether Nintendo touched him in the naughty bits during the Wii generation or what, but he's just not coming from a very gentle place when it comes to Nintendo, and it's really not fair because I know what annoys him, so I annoy him with it, as he does to me. Glaze, how about you? Just playing it on a kiosk, could this be
is it a system seller?
Yes.
What you're asking.
Yes, if you played just Mario Maker on a kiosk.
I think if you're someone that grew up with Mario, I think yes. I mean, I think if you're a teenager, you know, or, you know, a younger person, maybe not, because, I mean, you may not have that attachment that, you know, older people may have to Mario. But I think if you're, like, you know, 25 and up, you know, grew up with Mario, this game would make you want to buy the system. The nostalgia is very heavy in this game.
By the way, for those of you that at home keeping score, Glacinator is a statistical outlier in the 25 and up category.
I am. Almost.
Yeah. Very good. I was wondering if you'd call me out on that. So are we good on Mario Maker?
I think so. I'm sure the audience at home...
They're tired.
They've been there for an hour now almost. So.
They either went out and bought it or they turned off the podcast.
I think you guys... And I was trying to limit myself, although you guys actually genuinely brought questions out of me that I didn't think. I thought it'd be, okay, they'll talk about it for 45 minutes. I'll listen to it. It'll be great. I can shut up for once. But you guys genuinely drew questions out of me. It was in even... more interesting segment than I thought it was going to be, and I knew it was going to be interesting. It's a fascinating thing. I kind of wish now Nintendo had been able to get this out with the system.
Oh, yeah.
We might have been looking at a little different show than we're looking at right now with Nintendo.
Well, one thing that Mario Maker does, it definitely shows how easy the gamepad makes it to do these kinds of things. You know what I mean? Like, we talked about, you know, the promise of the gamepad and then showing what it can actually do, the kinds of experiences you can have. Well, this would be, like you said, this would be something that would have shown that kind of stuff.
Glacinator, John just brought a question to my mind. Does the gamepad remind you at all or share similarities, at least maybe in feel, of using your Cintiq or using a drawing tablet?
Sort of. I mean, the Cintiq is huge.
Well, yeah, I know, but just the
main difference.
The process.
Yeah, I mean, it's a screen that you draw on. That's a tablet. I mean, but to be more in depth about it, I mean, yeah, I guess so.
Well, I mean, if you had to do these levels using a cursor and a thumbstick. You'd probably be drove crazy.
Oh, no, no. This game would not have sold as well as it did.
No.
If you had to do D-pad thumbsticks the whole way.
No. I know that without ever laying a hand on it. Anytime I had to type a message to Pat because I was too cheap to buy the chat pad on 360, I wanted to tear my hair out.
Yeah.
With a thumbstick or the D-pad.
Like, everything is grid-based, but it doesn't make it any better, easier.
Because, yeah, sometimes you have to place down, like, 500 blocks. Like, let's say you want a ceiling on your level, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you had to do that by, you know, cursor, it'd be, like, A place, or, like, drag, drop, A place. And this, you know, you just scribble on it in the pad, you know, and it fills up all that stuff. Or you can do multi-select, you know, which is, you know, just dragging and drop with the pen. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess it's like this antique because, I mean, you have with your ZL button and your ZR button, you have different commands
right.
that change what your pinned do, basically. So it's basically like having the different switch pads on the Cintiq pin, you know, for like a racing or for dragging and dropping.
Have those side buttons on the Cintiq pins gotten any better than they used to be? I hate the ones on the older ones.
Yeah, I mean, the way that I hold my pen, I'm holding it right now, it's like they're closer down to the base of the pen, so I just have my thumb rest in the middle of the buttons. And so when I want to press one, I just sort of just move my thumb a minute, like a micrometer.
So it's,
and it presses the button.
So it's more like my preferred mouse configuration, which has two side buttons for forward and back.
Yes.
Yeah, see, the other problem I've always found, and you'd think left-handed people would be the more artistic of the bunch, is the older Cintiq and Bamboo tablet pens were not made for left-handed people. I swear to God. Sometimes. I think I'm wrong, but... gentlemen, are we comfortable with acknowledging that Nintendo has hired a new president whose name I'll never be able to pronounce, but at the same time saying that we would rather wait and see what happens from here, that a hiring alone is not enough to indicate anything, even when they said changes were coming?
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of where we want to stand on that? That yes, they...
This could easily be super temporary, so...
Yeah. I'm glad that Nintendo has finally started taking the steps forward in you know the mourning period is hopefully over and it's time to move on and get back to business and
right
and I'm happy that they've been able to move forward.
I can tell you that I think within this is to the audience that within the first 6 months we will know what the future Nintendo holds. Because the one thing I've always kept back when we've had these discussions, and again, spoiler warning, another sincere moment about to happen, mostly because I really didn't want to take the chance of hurting John or Glissinator's feelings. I'm dead serious here. Nintendo, for the last few months, has reminded me of the newspaper, music, and TV industry. And how they've struggled, you know, how those industries have struggled with the fact that they are dinosaurs and their day is almost over if they don't figure out the, you know, except for figuring out a product to place on the internet. And I still, to a point, feel that way about Nintendo. Just alone, their online Miiverse not really being still not that well put together concerns me. I'm hoping that I am incorrect about that thought I've had and haven't shared up to this point. But now that they have, as John very well put it, kind of gone through the mourning period of the tragic loss and now are looking like they're going to move forward, that maybe we will see some changes. I see nothing in this gentleman whose name I can never pronounce. I'll try and learn it. Agent K speaks Japanese. He told me he'd teach me. So I'm going to be doing it with a Shrek accent, basically. Can't be any worse than what I do normally, which is slaughter him. There's nothing in his biography or previous work history that just jumps out at me as hopeful. But that by no means it's going to be a disaster either. So we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, it's progress. Honestly, of all the things I say I worry or bitch about because I care, Nintendo is genuinely something I worry about because I care, because I think they have greatness left to do. Sony and Microsoft, they're a bunch of knuckleheads. Nintendo has always kind of stayed true to form, and I think they can do that and still be modern, still be right up there with Knucklehead A and Knucklehead B in the Clone Wars. Speaking of Knucklehead B, that's Sony. Did you guys see what they named their fucking FAP helmet? I literally fist-palmed.
Yeah.
I mean, Project Morpheus or Morpheus is the coolest fucking name ever. How stupid... This is where I come from at this. Let me start that over. How stupid do they think we are? Did they really genuinely think if they called it Morpheus, we were going to think it was made by Facebook's company Oculus Rift? That it was made by Valve? That it was made by HTC? This is... I can't decide. Help me out here, guys. Glace, you first. Is this dumber than Move? Than calling their wand Sony Move? Is calling it PlayStation VR dumber or the same?
I think it's just boring.
The Sony's supposed to be this where the gaming happens or whatever their stupid latest crappy ass slogan is. Don't think I'm singling out Sony for not knowing their marketing. I don't fucking have a clue what Xbox is either. How about you, John?
It's just generic. Just so safe, so plain. I agree with you. The cool factor is, in terms of a name, is kind of gone there.
Is this the first indication that they're going to do the same fucking thing with this they did with Move? Just not get behind it at all.
I don't know. I imagine that they're putting a lot of effort behind it. It just to call it just VR, PlayStation VR is, it's so boring. I mean, I don't know. Maybe having a funky name like Vita has bit them in the butt, but maybe that's what they figured.
No games is what bit Vita in the butt. Ask Lysinator.
What's that?
Yeah, exactly. Sony did handhelds? When?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, even as kind of goofy as Kinect was at first, it at least was kind of a unique name and didn't really make me wish they'd called it Natal, which I was kind of iffy on anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kinect kind of made sense, even though Phil Spencer has pretty much stabbed the fork in that fucker, apparently, right up until the point when HoloLens comes out. I'm still more on board with what Microsoft has in mind with HoloLens, coupled with what they're doing with Windows 10, than I am with any of the FAP helmets. You know, a Facebook like button inside a Oculus Rift has no interest from me.
Yeah.
Having to own a PlayStation 4 to get my hands on Sony. Fuck it. You know what? Fuck it. I'm calling it Morpheus. They can blow me. Having to buy a PS4 to get Morpheus. Doesn't matter. I didn't shut my door. Hi, dog. Why do you always come in halfway through the show, you little bitch? Damn it. Like I said, HoloLens is far, far, far more interesting to me than the others are. I'm not going to buy any of them, quite honestly, but from the disinterested department, I don't know. I take it, did either of you see that they'd renamed it? They did it at the Tokyo Game Show, too. At a whole base, they renamed it. It's like, really? It either means you were way too afraid to do it at one of the other big game shows, like E3 or Gamescom, or you felt more comfortable dropping that dud while at home base. Did either of you see that news before I brought it up?
I did, yeah.
Did you just kind of roll your eyes like I did? I'm like, really?
Yeah, I just kind of went, I guess they're just going to go generic.
Well, that's, yeah. So there you go. That was Sony's big announcement at Gamescom. Sorry, Tokyo. Tokyo Game Show. No, it wasn't because... Shit, pull up my notes. There was a Q&A with the guys from Naughty Dog about the Uncharted collection. You know, the we don't have any games on our PS4, so we're going to just give you all the Uncharted games again with an HD paint job edition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Prove me wrong. That's all I keep telling people that tell me I'm wrong about that. Prove it to me, because you can't. And we're, what, a year solid into the life cycle of these fuckers? I mean, come on, people. I'm not putting down my money. That there's potentially going to be a Last of Us 2. Now, full disclosure, I have watched an entire Let's Play of The Last of Us. I found it to be a very engaging game, which, considering I pulled this off the Destructoid website, where their commenters seem to be going downhill in a hurry to just Kotaku level of trolls, they didn't agree, but this Last of Us just didn't feel like a game that needed a sequel. I know neither of you played it, and Glace, you might not know hardly anything about it, but
I played the small. I took it for a test drive.
Right.
Yeah, I still intend to get through it all, but I just played through the first little bit there.
This doesn't strike me as a game that needs a sequel in any way, shape, or form. I mean, obviously, the article was based on the fact that one of the guys at Naughty Dog fucked up and phrased the sentence the way he shouldn't have, basically indicating that maybe there was a second one in the works. And so, you know, of course, the fans went bonkers. But I don't care if gamers want it. Man, I'm sick and tired of some of these games becoming franchises. I guess that's why I brought it up. It just doesn't feel like a game that needs a sequel. I don't know.
No. I mean, I'm not sure if it was meant to be a franchise or not, as much as, you know, just a standalone experience. Certainly from what I've heard about it anyway.
Well, I'm trying to think if I can say this without spoilers. I really can't. You just gonna have to play through it, John. But let's just say I have watched the entire game, and I just don't see how this is. I know how I'll say it. It's gonna have to be even more convoluted than BioShock was.
Yeah.
To get sequels out of it. Glace, any thoughts at all?
It's getting the Hollywood treatment. The guy now.
Meaning that, you know, so what are you saying? This is like if they made a sequel out of Thelma and Louise?
I'm just saying that, you know, Hollywood right now is sequel, 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 reboot, 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 you know. Easy money. Which is always an annoying route to go if it's unnecessary.
Hey, you know what? I still haven't seen it, and I'm sorry. Sorry to Mr. Wes Anderson that I didn't go see it in theaters, but as long as people like Wes Anderson are around, I will still watch movies. I still need to see The Budapest Hotel.
It's a good flick.
Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is it on streaming yet?
I saw it on Netflix. I don't know if it's on the U.S., but it was on the Canadian.
Well, usually if it's on Canadian, it's on U.S., I would
say. I don't think it's on U.S.
Oh, damn.
It might be on, like Amazon Prime or something.
You Canucks. I do have access to Amazon Prime Video. I guess I could. What? I just like being able to watch it on my tablet through and without downloading more apps. They give the Canucks something before us at times. I definitely will watch it. You've seen it, didn't you, Glaze?
Yeah, we have a whole discussion about camera ratios.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember. Did you guys see, and I think this is such a bad idea, and I really hope it bites Zuckerberg in the ass. Did you guys see that Facebook is finally giving in and developing a dislike button?
Is it really?
Uh-huh.
They've been saying that forever, though.
Yeah, but this one's got a little more heat to the smoke, if you catch my drift.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I'm still in that camp, Glaze, but I'm more convinced it's going to happen than any other time previous. But here's my angle on it. You guys both watch YouTube videos, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't go by like or dislikes, do you?
No.
I don't pay any attention to them. I might, like, if it's somebody I really like, say, Frankie on PC, I might, you know, he might say something that I know will enrage YouTubers or YouTube viewers, and so then I might casually glance at the dislike button to see if he got more than he normally would. But that doesn't base anything, base your judgment of a video, does it, on YouTube, Glaze?
No.
Would you guys even use it? I mean, like, if either of you posted something that I disliked, or I thought, why are you bothering me with this? I wouldn't, there's no point to it. It's just going to start drama. It's just for drama queens. It honestly is.
Yeah, I mean, you might try to use it as a joke, ironically, or something, but, you know.
Yeah, because honestly, and to date, neither of you have. I honestly don't think anybody in the WPO career, and I mean anybody, has gotten to this point for me. What I do with my social media feeds, both Facebook and Google Plus, you know, that's dead, but where Facebook actually stole it from, I just mute the post. if I see political ramblings or attempts at sad attempts at being clever, where it's just, it's like, that's not funny, I just mute it. Why engage? It's like, especially if it's somebody you like and you get along with and agree with a lot of the time. If they just have one of those moments where they post something where it's like, really, what were you thinking? The mute functionality is so much better than any other feature that's ever been invented for social media. I mean, you can even mute people on Twitter now, which is kind of nice. If somebody's rant, have you done this yet, John? There are a few followers I have on Twitter who sometimes will go on tangents for a while, and I get tired of it, so I mute them.
Oh, yeah, I've muted people before.
And then, you know how it goes on Twitter, John. They'll get on a tangent, it'll last maybe 30 minutes. Total of a dozen tweets. But I don't want to listen. I just don't even want to read it because it's going to annoy me.
Mm-hmm.
So when they start, I mute them. And then when I think sufficient time has passed for them to get it out of their system because they want to share it with everybody else, I then unmute them. Although I did forget to do that with somebody who's a personal friend of mine, and they actually texted me and said, "Hey, dude, I tried to DM you on Twitter and you have me muted. Care to explain why?" That creates some awkwardness. Yeah, because you were going on and on about how Bernie Sanders is the greatest human being to ever live and we should elect him overlord of the universe. You guys know how much I hate politics. I don't care. I know which party Bernie Sanders is about, but I don't care. That is actually the fastest way to get muted by me on social media.
You mean you didn't watch the fight of the century last night?
Nope. Glycinator, please, for my edification, I am getting older in case I have somehow slipped up. What year is it?
I believe it's 1998.
Yeah.
I think.
Hilarious. What year is it? You know, this was going to be a good joke if you would just set it up for me.
It was 2015.
Yeah. So, and the presidential election is until 2016. Why the fuck are these clowns on my television sets now? I'm telling you, you want to have hope. You want to have change. Let's make it so in any country, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck if it's a dirtbag dictatorship. We need to make a universal law that campaigning cannot start until January 1st of the election year. This is fucking ridiculous. It's September of 2015, and I've got to listen to these fucking knuckleheads, including but not limited to Donald Trump and the dead ferret that died on top of his head that apparently is now hiding with a hat. And, oh, by the way, for those of you panicking, I've got a better chance of getting elected president of the United States at this point than he does, trust me. Just because I hate politics doesn't mean I don't understand it. You know, there's no point in it. It's ridiculous. And no, I didn't watch them all try and out-Reagan each other at the Reagan Library. I was disgusted that they let them in the state of California. I feel that way about the Democratic candidates, too. Do not read anything into that. I don't want any of them here. At all. Go away.
They should all be forced to play Mario levels for the presidency.
Oh, no.
Who can ever beat the Super Meat Boy level in Mario Maker?
Oh,
be president.
Glace, apparently they have the levels from the Nintendo World Championships on Mario Maker.
Yes.
Oh, really?
I beat all those already.
Did you?
Yes.
How do you find those quickly?
How do you get those? You have to beat every core spot level,
or
unlock every core spot level.
Okay, I don't think I have done that.
So you're saying you could have won the Nintendo World Championships if you'd gotten your ass down to Best Buy. Is that what you're telling me?
Maybe. They weren't that hard at all. I mean, I watched it live when it happened. I told you guys about it.
All right.
And every player got stuck on the last level, which was the new Super Mario Brothers U level. And they didn't know that you could wall jump. Like,
oh, yeah. I remember you saying this.
And I've been seeing lots of Let's Players online playing Mario Maker, and they get to these Super Mario Brothers U levels, and they have no idea that you can wall jump, and they have no idea that you can ground pound, you know. And the 3D Mario, what was it? New Super Mario Land on the DS and then the one on the 3DS. Yeah, those are some of my favorite Marios. And those are all about wall jumping and the ground pounding and stuff. So I didn't find them hard at all. So.
Yeah, but that Nintendo World Championship was more marketing than eSport.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It wasn't a true contest in the sense of a, you know, tournament style fight to the death sort of thing.
I knew you knew that. I just wanted to make sure we pointed that out to the audience at home. Because World Championship tends to have a certain connotation. And as much as I find eSports very boring to watch, there are some that A, bring a lot of cash, and B, people are very, very good at. As we've discussed previously, ESPN doesn't start covering stuff if they don't think there's potential income to be made there.
Yes, John, if you beat all the core spot levels, then you'll unlock the Nintendo World Championship levels. And if you beat those levels, then you'll unlock the weird skinny mushroom. Yes, that's the weirdest thing. It's this mushroom. It looks like a weird fungus, you know, like what type of mushrooms are those? They're really skinny and tall. And when Mario eats it, he turns into like a creepy uncle, like demon, like not demon. It's just very odd looking. He gets super skinny and he can jump super high and he walks like he's like a, like, I don't know.
Aren't those the type that people eat to hallucinate?
Yes, and maybe shrooms. I don't know. Strong possibility there.
I'm pretty sure I have never taken shrooms, but I have seen them. I'm pretty sure that is, you're describing the type of mushroom before it's picked and dried that has hallucinogenic properties. Oh, sure. I can say hallucinogenic, but not like the simplest words in the English language. Damn you, brain. By the way, John, Glace will be giving tutorial courses on how to beat those. Glacenator's capacity for understanding and beating platformers, audience at home that doesn't already know this, is not to be underestimated. He impresses me how fast he tears through some of this stuff. And a lot of it's because he's so excited to see new things. Don't you think that's it, Glace, that you probably go faster because you're like, ooh, this is so damn cool, but what's next?
Mm-hmm.
It's
a genre that just stopped existing.
Well, that is true,
early 2000s, late 90s.
It was
huge. You had stuff coming out, you know, first, you had your normal Mario stuff, and you had, you know, Banjo-Kazooies, and you had Conker, stuff like that, Rare, you know, and then you had weird spin-off games like SpongeBob, and then like Tacking the Power of Juju, and you know, you had a few platformers, you know, like Outlander, or whatever that one was, and yeah, stuff like Limbo. Like, it's just starting to come back, you know, within the last 5 years. But
oh, speaking of Braid, let's close on this. I think Jonathan Blow, who came really close to being a name redacted once or twice, his new game is out. The one that he's been crowing about for God knows how long. I think we made fun of him at least once.
Is that the shit?
Yeah, it's like Mist meets Braid meets the Munsters or something. I don't know. What the hell? I can't even remember what it's called. I just saw that he said something about it, and it was releasing tomorrow. So it might be out today, September 17th, when we're recording this, or it might be out tomorrow, September 18th, when you'll be listening to this. But yeah, supposedly it's out. I think it's only on Sony PlayStation 4, though, so I really don't give a fuck. And that may have been why I stopped paying attention to it, was because he signed some exclusive. Yeah, he did, because he came out with the first wave of Sony's We're the Greatest Ever PR bullshit when Microsoft was tripping over its own shoelaces. And then he proceeded to do what he does best and go on about, go too far about how creepy Uncle Mario. Glacinator just clicked to, I don't know who put that up there, but hold on. We still got like a minute or two. Let me see if I can pull up Jonathan Blow's new game. Maybe. God, I may have to actually switch. Yeah. Yeah, The Witness.
The Witness, yes.
The Witness. Let's see if it's out. It's taking a while to load. Yeah, but that creepy Mario, was he in anything else, Glace? Is that canon?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
The first time I picked that up, I was very confused. When he jumps, he like wiggles his arms and like he makes a weird jumping noise. He like jumps double the height of normal Mario.
Yeah, all the costume characters make jumps double the height, I think, as well than regular big Mario. I think so.
Really?
It seems like they all jump very high and very far compared to big Mario.
Yeah, the witness.com is not loading. All I'm pulling up is how Sony stole it away from PS4, or how Sony stole it away from Xbox. And I'm also seeing nothing like a Steam store page, so that tells me, yeah, their website's all fucked up. Ah, but anyways, Jonathan blows new games out there if you have a PS4. It seemed very... Oh, I made Braid, so now you think I'm the greatest indie dev ever. Watch me become name redacted too with an ego of Phil Fish. And don't get me wrong, I think Jonathan Blow is an extremely talented designer. I just think he's way too full of himself. That looks like a good place to end it. What do you guys think?
Sure.
Okay. Glace?
Yep, I'm good.
Okay, so I do have one couple, 3 weeks. I'll turn you guys back loose after you've learned more about Mario Maker. Maybe the level ratings have settled out. Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On that note, if you'd like to get in touch with us or find out when my MMO rant ended, we have a ton of ways you can do that. The first off is our Facebook. It's WonderPod Online. All one word, WonderPod Online. Send us a friend request. Unless you're an obvious bot, we will accept it. We have a website. It's called WonderPodOnline.com. WonderPodOnline.com. We post videos there. We post... nobody really writes anymore, but then again, nobody really appears to know how to read anymore. I post this podcast at WonderPodOnline.com, where on the posting page, you can find out neat tidbits, like when I stopped ranting about MMOs, but also there's an embedded player. If you don't want to download an MP3 or forgot to download it, you can go to our website and just listen to it on a browser. We are on iTunes, like everybody else and their mother. Just search WonderPod. If you don't like iTunes, we are on archive.org. Search WonderPod again. That's archive.org. We have a bunch of YouTube channels. Glacinator has a YouTube channel. I, Bruce McGee, have got a YouTube channel. WonderPod Online has a YouTube channel. The 36 Wii YouTube channel, where you should go catch up on all the rare replay games Pat has been playing. What Chris Does YouTube channel, our good buddy Chris Lloyd, and his girlfriend Olivia with the Olivia Made This YouTube channel. We have a Twitter account. It's at WonderPod Online. All one word, at WonderPod Online. And if none of that works for you, and if you do actually like to write and read, we have an email address. It's WonderPod@WonderPodOnline.com. WonderPod@WonderPodOnline.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter, at ORIGIM. Or you can follow John on Twitter,
at John Keo, JONKEHOE.
I had to breathe in there somewhere. It was at the IM. Until episode 270. I'm hyperventilating. See you, people.
Cheers.
Goodbye.